Welcome in, sleepers, and we are back on Beat. And today I am joined by special guest Olivia Reiner. She covers the Green Bay Packers, and I am very excited to have her on here because the Packers are kind of a team that I like. I mean, one of my favorite teams, or my favorite team, I should say, is the 49ers. Even though I live in Detroit, I hate the Lions, but I do follow the Packers. So, Olivia, welcome to the show. Great to have you on. How are you today?
I'm doing well. That's such an interesting combination of teams and locations. I've got a lot of questions for you, I guess.
Well, you know, and that's fair. That's why we're here, man. You know, before we jump into this, though, you know, for those of you out there that are not familiar with the show, it's a segment that Sleeper Wire has, and we have the privilege of being able to sit down and speak with beat writers across the NFL. I mean, these are the people that are in it. They see what's going on in the field, and you know, you can scroll through Twitter all you want, but, you know, for me, this is awesome because, you know, I get to have these conversations and get to convey some of this information to you as much as they can. So keep that in mind, everybody. But Olivia, where can everybody find you on social media?
Yeah, I'm primarily on Twitter. It's at Reiner Olivia is the handle. So my last name first and then my first name. That's primarily where I can be found. I also have a professional Facebook page as well. Olivia Reiner, Packers News, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so all my work can be found over there.
Perfect. Perfect. Now I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here a little bit. Now let's give the good people out there. What's your background? You know, what was your path to becoming a beat writer? Have you always been with the Packers, so on and so forth?
Sure. So I actually graduated college 2 years ago. It's almost my 2 year anniversary with Gannett, I should say. So Gannett owns the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I started back in October of 2018 with the Green Bay Press Gazette. They hired me as their Packers multimedia reporter. So primarily I'm doing video stuff on live streaming stuff on our Facebook page, our Periscope YouTube pages, video storytelling, also writing as well. So doing some of that. Kind of a fun, you know, combination of things. And then in April of last year, I moved to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to continue to cover the Packers, but to also do some Bucks and Brewers as well. So depending on where we are in the year with the sports seasons, I get to cover a little bit of everything, which is a really cool part of my job. So I've been covering the Packers for about 2 years now. This is going to be my second full season. I got a partial season back in 2018. So it's my second training camp. So it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Oh, very cool. So then it's safe to say that, you know, you've always been with the Packers. Now, let me ask you this. Are the Packers your team? Like, are they your favorite NFL team?
No, I did not grow up in Wisconsin. I grew up in Philadelphia, right outside of Philadelphia. And I liked football growing up. I liked watching the Eagles growing up. It was fine. It was never my favorite sport. The Eagles were never a team I was super tied to, especially through college, not living in Philadelphia when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I was in school at the time. So I don't know. I was never super connected to the NFL. I'm a big hockey fan, so I follow hockey pretty closely. But no, there was never a big conflict of interest for me coming in to covering the Packers and feeling like I had an allegiance somewhere else or that I had an allegiance to this team. I don't have an allegiance. I root for myself. As our Bucks beat writer Matt Velazquez says, you can't spell media without me. I root for myself at, you know, best outcome for me when it comes to my job.
I like that. That's actually pretty cool. So being a hockey fan then, you know, what would be your dream job? Who would be the team you would like to cover then?
You know, I don't know if I have a dream team to cover. At first when I was coming out of school, I wanted to cover hockey. I thought I could only cover hockey because hockey was what my expertise was in. I knew a lot about the sport. I've watched the sport. I interned with the New York Islanders while I was in school and had some experience working in hockey. So I was like, I'm going to go get a hockey job. But there aren't a lot of A, sports jobs, and B, hockey jobs. It's just not as popular of a sport as football is, especially in this country. So I've tried to broaden my horizons a little bit and apply for a football job. And I'd covered football a little bit in college. It certainly was not my expertise back in college. I have learned a lot since taking this job. But yeah, I don't know if I really have a dream. My dream is to have good access and tell great stories, no matter the sport, no matter the team. And it just so happens that I really like football. I've enjoyed covering the game in my 2 years that I've been doing it. And I'd like to continue to do it for as long as I can possibly do it for.
No, that's very cool. And you know, you're right about hockey. Hockey really depends on, I guess, the market more than anything. I mean, a lot of sports are, you know, pretty market dependent, but I'm really kind of surprised though, if you intern with the Islanders and you were over there in New York, I'm surprised you just didn't get sucked in by that atmosphere there.
Yeah, it's a good point because it's so typical for, you know, going to college. I went to school at Northwestern. A lot of people stay in Chicago. A lot of people move to the East Coast, but at the same time, I was in journalism school. So especially if you're on camera, you're doing broadcast, it's also very typical for people to start out in smaller markets. So, you know, I mean, I was looking at applying to local television stations and I applied to a bunch, didn't really have a lot of success hearing back. And then I ended up applying to a digital role with the Press Gazette. And I was like, you know what? Green Bay, honestly, not, it's a small town. It's not that small. It really isn't. It's not as small as a lot of markets in this country, especially for some people starting out right outside of college.
Right. I hear it's a good time there too.
Yeah, I would agree. I enjoy it.
Very cool. Well, let's dive into some more meat and potatoes of this episode here. So, well, you know, one of the more important things, you know, we did a show last week with a beat writer for the Chargers, and this is kind of something I'm going to do for a couple of shows just to kind of give people the feel of what's going on. And, you know, obviously you can only answer what you can answer, but you know, with everything that has gone on this year, you know, what has been your approach navigating your way through this entire off season? I mean, there's been a lot that has gone on, obviously, through all this. So how has it changed everything? And it's probably a little more difficult for you being, you know, pretty fairly new to this industry as well.
It is. This was a really challenging off season, and I'm always hard on myself because I want to tell good stories and I want to get as much access as possible. And it's helpful, generally speaking, especially during training camp, during OTAs, to have access to the locker room, to see players, to interact with them on a daily basis and start to form some sort of relationship. And we haven't really been able to do that. So I'm kind of relying on the relationships that I've already formed to, you know, for people, sources to reach out to, stories to tell. It's hard to go through a team in this sort of setting. The Packers aren't exactly facilitating interviews beyond sort of the daily big scrums that they're having over Zoom. So we get four players a day. So, and that's just as of recent. There was a time period where we were getting like one or two players a week for a few weeks. We didn't hear from a lot of the players, you know, in an organized fashion. So the onus is on us really to do the work outside of PR organizing stuff. So it's been a lot of sending, you know, texts and emails and trying to turn over all the stones in this, especially during the interim period where there's no OTAs and there's no football, but, you know, is there going to be football? Like, how can we just tell stories about the Packers that are interesting in this downtime. So that was what my challenge was this, especially during the major lockdown portion of the pandemic. So it has been challenging. It's a relief to finally be at training camp and actually have football to talk about. Right. We're not just like kind of talking about, you know, what will happen, what could happen, who could happen, all of those questions.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the thing is too, is that every team across the NFL has been different. You know, there has been no real set standard. So everybody has their different approach to everything in general. You know, one of the bigger things, that I'm really looking at it with this season is as of right now, because I don't know, I was kind of on the fence about it before even starting up, and it feels like it's going to start up. The question becomes, is it going to be a full season? Are we going to have a shortened season? Is it going to get delayed at some point and finish later? You know, because I know things are written up in the CBA to where they can push out the draft to where the teams, you know, the ownership, that whole NFLPA, the NFL in general, they have an agreed date to move things out to. So just, I mean, real quick, what's your perspective? You think we're going to have a full season?
I don't know. I think I've said a lot, either on the radio or other podcasts, I certainly hope there's a season. I want there to be football.
Right.
I like my job and I would like to keep my job. Although, you know, I'm flexible and I'm capable of writing or doing anything my employers need me to do. However, you know, of course I want there to be football, but I also want players and coaches and team personnel and my colleagues too. Like I want all of us to be safe and healthy.
Right.
Like I don't want anyone to sacrifice their health for the sake of football. So it's tough. You know, it's really great so far that the NFL has been able to keep the numbers relatively low. The Packers had five players on COVID IR coming out of that initial testing phase as they were getting into before the acclimation period of training camp. And at the moment, all five players are off as of yesterday. So that's exciting. And as far as I know, nobody has gone on from the Packers. So the numbers have stayed low. It's just a matter of, can they continue to stay low as these teams start to travel and they start to interact with one another? Like, you know, this is a high contact sport. It's not baseball, and we've seen what's been going on with baseball. So, you know, you'd think it could only get worse, but maybe, I mean, I certainly hope that it doesn't. Yeah, I'm trying to be optimistic. I hope we get a few games in at the very least, but, you know, we'll see how things go.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's just, you know, at this point, hope for the best. And, you know, things are looking a little brighter than they were a little while ago. So that's all we can really hope for. And now with you being, you know, being there in the facilities and things of that sort, I'm not sure how much exposure you have had, but you know, what is some of the protocol that's been implemented? Like, do you see changes in the locker room, the weight room, anything like of that nature?
So I can answer that question. I am not personally, I don't have access to Lambeau at the moment. I am in two of my colleagues do. So I work with four other beat reporters that cover the Packers, two from the Journal Sentinel and two from the Green Bay Press Gazette. We both have the same ownership and we both work together to cover the team. So two of my colleagues are inside of Lambeau. We have an office in Lambeau. They are able to work there and access the facility. I am not one of those people and neither are two of my other colleagues, but we are allowed to be present and watch practice. So that's the most important part. But as far as what looks different, what's going on inside of the facility, there's a big trailer outside of the facility in the player parking lot where they go in and they get tested every day. At least they're getting tested every day right now. They'll get tested every day through training camp at the very least. They revised that. The NFL and the NFLPA came to an agreement to extend that daily testing. It was just going to be for the first 2 weeks. Now they're doing it through training camp. But as far as what else looks different? I think for the most part in the locker rooms, they have plexiglass dividers between all the lockers. I know some places, like I've seen Hard Knocks, been watching Hard Knocks. I know like the Rams are pretty well spaced out. They have like single stall situations where they're just like kind of spread out all through at least one or two locker rooms. I'm not really sure. It's hard to tell, but the Packers are just in their main locker room. They've got plexiglass dividers. They may be utilizing the visitors' locker room as well, but yeah, I think they're being encouraged to stay safe. They're wearing a mask inside. They're wearing contact tracing devices as well. So, and that's league standard right now. Everyone across the league is doing that. So, if a player does test positive, they're able to trace who exactly he came in contact with, whether it's in the facility or on the playing field. So there are rules and, you know, they're trying their best, I suppose. You know, like I said, we'll see how well those protocols protect the players and the staff and all the other personnel.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I've seen from a couple of teams too is that they've actually moved weight rooms outdoors and stuff like that. So you can definitely tell there's, even though there's not a set standard across the board, that every team has taken, for the most part, similar approaches to everything. So let's dive into some of these players. One of the things I have to ask here, because I love Davante Adams, you know, we had a little bit scared with him yesterday. He was, you know, right leg ankle-ish area, but he was seen back on the field today without any pads on. He seems to be okay. Obviously, you know, he's part of their future. He's the franchise wide receiver there. So is he out there today running around doing his normal stuff or limited at all outside of being not in pads?
It looked like he stretched today with the team. However, besides that, he wasn't doing much. He was just off to the side watching. But good news is he's out there. I mean, yeah. He injured himself in practice on Wednesday in an 11-on-11 drill with, I believe, it seemed like he was coming up for a catch, somehow got tangled up with safety Adrian Amos, Amos actually made an interception on that play. And I think at some point he turned around and he realized that Davante Adams was on the ground. And then, you know, he was limping off. He went inside of the Packers practice facility. And then eventually he walked back out. He came back out, which is good news to see him walking around. He had his helmet with him, put his helmet back on. He never jumped back into the full speed 11-on-11s. Later on, they did a little bit of a jog through 11-on-11, and he did come back in for that. So today, not practicing. However, head coach Matt LaFleur did not seem super concerned about Adams. LaFleur, that being said, also does not really show his hand too much when it comes to injuries. So, you know, take his words with perhaps a grain of salt. However, I would say the fact that Adams was present at practice today in some capacity, even if he was just standing there, generally is a pretty good sign.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, they're definitely going to be taking precautionary measures with him, needless to say. You know, so I mean, because that wide receiver, and we'll talk about that, that wide receiver room's pretty thin. So, one of the biggest things though that I want to ask you, you know, since the NFL draft and everything that went on there, and I'm sure you've talked about this enough and probably wrote about it enough. What is your feel of the atmosphere around there with, you know, them trading up to draft Jordan Love, and you still have Aaron Rodgers there, and you know, everybody immediately reverts back to when Green Bay drafted Rodgers and Favre was still there, so on and so forth. I mean, what's the atmosphere like within that regard?
Yeah, I think at least from what we've heard from Rodgers, he has already said to the media, I think he was on Kyle Brandt's Ringer podcast, and he talked about it there. Like he said he was surprised that they would trade up for Jordan Love for a quarterback in the first round of the draft. However, you know, it is what it is. It's a business.
Right.
He's a professional. It is what it is. He understands that the writing perhaps is on the wall, that maybe he won't get to finish his career in Green Bay. He's got 4 more years left on his deal. So I think he's just mature about it. I don't know. I don't know what we all expected. I don't know what anybody expected for him to react a certain way, but he's been fine. He's fine. He's practicing fine. He seems like pretty jovial out there, seems to be smiling and working and coaching up Love when Love needs pointers. I don't think there's any hesitation there, or at least we haven't seen it. So I think it's fine. I think it's a lot of, it just is what it is. I think the veteran group, I know David Bakhtiari, left tackle, said he was also a little bit surprised, and backup quarterback last season, Tim Boyle, was also surprised and perhaps not super thrilled about it. Cause I think if anything, at least at the moment, Jordan Love's presence threatens Tim Boyle's job more than it threatens Aaron Rodgers' job, right now. So, I think Love it's just what a situation to come into, man. I mean, it's his first year in the season, and I think he wants to, I don't know, if I'm an NFL rookie, I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm happy to be with the team, happy to be playing. It's a little bit of a tense situation from the outside looking in, but Love seems to be handling it well. Rodgers seems to be handling it well. Seems like business as usual.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like you said, going into that statement, it is a business. And if you really think about it, you know, Green Bay was in a situation when they still had Brett Favre to make a move and take a talent, you know, the guy with all this upside in the world, like Aaron Rodgers, and played behind Favre, I believe, for two seasons, actually. And they fell into this unique situation again, right? So, and this is why they've been successful since the 90s. Is they've made these moves to keep themselves contenders in this division. At times it's strong, and a lot of times it's weaker. But, you know, it's just, yeah, it's a business. Now, I'm going to shift to the backfield here. This is one that really intrigues me simply because, you know, A.J. Dillon, where they drafted him for one, you know, with Aaron Rodgers coming on, or not Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones coming off the season that he did last year. They still have Jamal Williams. However, I know both of those guys are unrestricted free agents after this year. Now, A.J. Dillon, for me, was a guy that I was already anticipating he was going to be the guy in 2021. You know, who knows if they're going to re-sign both of those running backs or just one of them, or if any of them, right? I mean, Aaron Jones could easily go get paid somewhere else, and they could sign Jamal Williams cheap. You still have A.J. Dillon there, depending on how he does this year. Now, apparently that young man's been making some noise out of the gate. So, I mean, what is it that you're seeing out there?
I'm just saying a big dude. That's a big
that's all I've running been hearing.
Back. Yeah. It's like I try not to be, I don't know, like super objectifying of these players. But yeah, there's been a lot of talk about his quads and his lower body, especially. He's a really, yeah, strong looking guy.
Yeah, he's a physical guy.
Yeah, very big. And yeah. You can see that, you know, he's out there. He put pads on. Packers were in pads for the first time on Wednesday, and he was, yeah, he's a big guy. He's hitting hard. So I think that's, you know, that's exciting for the Packers. It's a different type of running back that, you know, they don't really have. And Matt LaFleur worked with Derrick Henry in Tennessee. So, you know, Matt LaFleur said he's never seen a player, a running back that looks this big and can be this physical in his career. So I think that says quite a bit. So I'm very intrigued by what AJ Dillon can do in this run game. I'm especially intrigued to see how he can be a contributor in the passing game too. That's a huge point of emphasis for the Packers, getting their backs involved in the passing game. We saw Aaron Jones. He was, for all intents and purposes, the second wide receiver on the team,
right?
At least for the first half of the season. And even Jamal Williams had some really big passing plays too. So if AJ Dillon can get involved there, it wasn't a huge point of emphasis for him at Boston College. However, doesn't mean that he can't figure it out in the pros. So we'll see. Through camp, he's had some pretty good receptions. Tim Boyle has connected with him at least once for a pretty long ball. So it's I'm eager to see exactly what happens with this running backs room. It's kind of a crowded room with Jones and Williams and AJ Dillon and their 2019 sixth round pick in Dexter Williams. Like, right. How does this all impact him? He didn't get to see the field very much last season. And then, oh yeah, there's their return specialist, Tyler Irvin, who got involved a little bit in the offense toward the end of last season as well, when they picked him up as a free agent. So it's kind of a crowded room there with the running back. So I'm curious to see how this will all shake out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I honestly think, you know, Aaron Jones, he kind of grew that aspect of his game, grew into that role of being a little bit more of a receiving back than he was. You go back to his rookie year. Jamal Williams, to me, was more of a receiving threat than Aaron Jones initially. But that has kind of developed. And yeah, AJ Dillon really never really had that aspect of his game in college. They didn't play that kind of scheme. They didn't play that kind of offense. And he's just a massive man. I saw this clip on Twitter earlier where, you know, he was in the first, it was him hitting a sled in a pass pro drill, and he just lifted the sled right off the ground and held it there. And then there was another one where I can't remember if he caught the ball or, you know, he just had it tucked and ran towards the sled and just shouldered the sled and just brushed that thing aside and just kept going. I was just like, Jesus Lord, this man is huge. So yeah, it was kind of funny. Let's dive into these wide receivers here, going back to that after talking to Adams for a little bit. Now, we all know that Devin Funchess opted out. for me, Devin Funchess is Devin Funchess. We've already seen what he is in the NFL. Not really sure the reasoning of them signing him, to be honest with you. But I know there's not much veteran depth there. There's not a lot of veteran help there in that wide receiver room outside of Devontae Adams. You know, I really want to see what comes out of Jay Sternberger at the tight end position this year. I know people, there's still truthers out there for EQ. There are truthers out there for MVS. Personally, I look at Alan Lazard just because of what he did after week 6 last year and Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating, throwing him the ball in first down situations and so on and so forth, the amount of targets and catches and everything that he had. Lazard is another big man. I think he's like 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", or something like that. And he's going to be playing opposite of, you know, one of the, if not the best wide receiver in the game. So from your perspective on what you've covered, you know, between last year and you saw that growth through all those wide receivers. And, you know, even though you've had a week here to see these guys on the field, I mean, what are you kind of seeing in that wide receiver group?
Yeah. If you are a receiver and you can make a play, you will get an opportunity to make an impact on the offense. It is a competition. Even Alan Lazard, his quote unquote wide receiver two role is not safe, I would say. Right. He has to put it together again and show that he's capable of having an equally, if not better, performance last year going into this year. So, yeah, I think Lazard showed a lot of great. He did a great job last season. He really did emerge. And I think part of that is because he developed a really good connection with Aaron Rodgers. I think they seem to be on the same page. Rodgers can depend on him. He trusts him. And I know that it's early to be saying that, but, you know, Rodgers has said it himself. And we've seen that trust, especially on third down. Lazard was really big when it came to some of those third down conversions too. And if he can continue to provide that presence for the Packers, I think they're going to continue to rely on him. So he certainly has an opportunity here in training camp to make an impression and to show that he's ready to have another standout performance. And after him, it's really anybody's game. As you said, Equanimeous St. Brown coming back from injury, spent all of last season on IR. Now, you know, ankle's healthy. Can he contribute? Can he pick off where he left off back in 2018? He, at the time, it seemed like he was ahead of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, right, just in how often he was being used. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling also dealt with injuries last season, both a knee and an ankle. He told us, spoke with the media recently, and he said that the ankle was what was bothering him for most of the season. He played through it. However, after, you know, for most of the season, it was pretty quiet from him. And he knows that he has, a big opportunity ahead of him. So yeah, not like you said, not a lot of veteran presence in that room besides Devontae Adams. So next man up, who can make an impact on this offense?
Yeah. The interesting thing about it this year too, the more that I think about it is, you know, even though I'm really a believer in Lazard, I like the way the guy plays. I was a believer in EQ when he came out. I really liked the upside of him. I really did like the upside of MVS. And all three of these guys are coming into year three. So it's going to be very interesting because we all know the story of the wide receiver position in this game. It's a different animal. And some guys can excel a lot quicker than others, obviously. But usually there's like that third year rule. So this is a unique situation for Green Bay because one or all three of these guys could just come out and play substantial roles in the offense, you know, for people in the fantasy football world that might not be great unless you have Devontae Adams. So, but that's another story, another time. So, on both sides of the ball, are there any players that you see that people may not think about that you feel could have a big impact and be a difference maker on this team this year?
Whew. Big impact, like not a big name.
Yeah, just somebody you wouldn't think about. It doesn't matter, offense, defense, offensive lineman. It doesn't matter. You know, if there's anybody new.
We're focusing on new players. I'm really intrigued. It's been so we've only had a few practices. It's been very, 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 very early.
Oh, absolutely.
We've only had pads on for a couple practices. So I, again, early. So if you're about to put people on your fantasy team, maybe think again or something. Maybe don't listen to me. But I'm very intrigued by third round pick Josiah DeGuara early on. The Packers, head coach Matt LaFleur, the night that DeGuara was drafted, said, you know, they like how versatile he is and that he can play a lot of different positions. And so far he has been true to his word, and DeGuara has played a lot of different positions. He's lining up all over the place. He's blocking a lot. He's being split out wide as a receiver. He's supposed to be more of an H-back style of tight end. And he's been doing some good things. He had a good one-on-one against Raven Green today, and you know, he showed up for that. And I'm curious to see if what he did in college, what he's practicing right now in training camp, will that be able to translate to the professional level? I think that we will find out. So potentially, you know, who knows if it'll work out or not for him. But he was a big part of Cincinnati's passing game, and he also was a big blocker for them too. So it's a matter of just being able to translate to the professional level.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of an interesting pick when they made it. And then I sat there and kind of thought about their roster, and I was like, you know, yeah, this is the kind of guy. He's almost like that Swiss Army knife guy. I mean, not, you know, the huge playmaker gadget guy, but he's kind of like, it's kind of like Juice out there in San Francisco. You know, you can do whatever you want with him. And this guy kind of has that element to him. So, yeah, I'm really kind of interested to see how he develops over the next couple of years, because he definitely could be an integral part, you know, not for huge playmaking reasons, but just a very integral part of that offense and helping make and create these big plays for the team. So, yeah, that's kind of cool you brought his name up, because I was wondering who you're going to come up with there.
It's been a long day, so I thought we actually heard from him today. So it's a little bit of a recency thing. And also, I am genuinely, he had a good practice. He's had a good camp so far. I'm intrigued to see what he can bring in. Also, to your point, as you said, you think about this offense and what they like to do. Matt LaFleur has spoken a lot of the illusion of complexity and mm-hmm. disguising certain plays, making run plays look like passing plays, and so on and so forth, vice versa. Josiah DeGuara, he's out there, you know, you don't know if he's going to block. You don't know if he's going right. to be split up. Like, what is he on the field for? Whatever he's out there for, defense has to honor that. So, or whatever they think he's going to be doing. So, if he can adequately do all of those things at this professional level, then he can be a big asset to Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's the way the game's shifting now. I mean, you look at what they're doing in Baltimore, you look what they're doing in Kansas City, San Francisco, you know, and that's just the big three that everybody would even think about when it comes to those schemes. But there are others in the NFL. So it's really shifting that way. So yeah, and Matt LaFleur, he's one of the younger minds that's, you know, going to adapt to that and really implement that stuff. I mean, if you look at last year, Sean McVay, the way that the Rams offense was running, you know, the guys that they lost, you know, obviously they didn't have Todd Gurley for a full year. You know, they were struggling at first, and then he kind of shifted the scheme of that offense and they came on later in the year. So a lot of that's happening, and, you know, it's going to continue to go that way, I think. So before we jump off here, Olivia, I want to open the floor to you. You know, if there are any, if there's anything you're writing, anything you're covering, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is you want to talk about, you want to talk about your favorite hockey team, I don't care. Floor's open. It's all up to you to kind of plug yourself and things that you're doing.
Yeah. So, I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm working on some stuff. I've got some stuff that I'm cooking. So if you do follow along, PackersNews.com, hopefully have some stories up, you know, more featurey things that I'm working on. I think everything's good. It's, like I said, it's a really unique time to be covering football and to be building relationships. You know, like I said, we haven't met some of these players in person yet that are new to the team, whether they're free agents or rookies. It's just a unique time. Like, I don't know if we're going to hear from Jordan Love ever again. At least not until next year. We heard from him today. I don't know if we'll get to hear from him again. So, it's a weird time. It's not a time conducive for journalists to be building relationships. And unfortunately, I think that's going to show, in the coverage that we're able to do. I hope it doesn't. I hope I'm able to still do everything that I want to, but, there's going to be stories that are not going to be told in a world that they typically would have been told. So it's just kind of, I don't want to end on a sad note like that. Cause I don't know. I'm still like just kind of grappling with the way that our world is right now and how it's impacted, sports and coverage of sports. But that all being said, I'm glad to have the access that we have. I'm glad that they're practicing. I'm glad that I can be present at practice, because even who can attend practice, that has shrunk pretty substantially too. So it's, what a time, what a time it is to cover sports.
I know it really is. And I mean, with all of that being said, what has been your approach to kind of make you stand out a little bit more than other beat writers? Because obviously you guys are all fighting for the same information and you're going to be seeing a lot of information just from different perspectives. But is there anything that you're taking from a different angle to really kind of separate yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I think just trying to think creatively, to tell stories that are not just about the team, but how the team fits into this town. I think Green Bay is a really interesting place. There's not a lot of teams that live in towns exist in towns as small as Green Bay. So just trying to think about, the players' relationship with the town. What are the players doing away from the facility right now? Just trying to think bigger about how to cover this team in different, unique ways that are especially relevant to this time that we're living in. So that's I challenge myself to do that, even if we're not in the middle of a pandemic. And I also try to think of different ways we can connect with our audience, whether it's through, we do a lot of live streaming, a lot of interactive broadcasts where we're talking to our fans and we're not just, we're not just talking to each other. Usually I'll have a guest, one of our other beat writers, we'll have a discussion and we'll also try to include our fans' questions and comments in there too. So just trying to engage people, reach people in different ways and bring them different forms of storytelling. That's my passion. That's my job. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully I can continue doing that this season.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I hope so too.
Thank you.
For all of us, we want football. We want everybody working. So we need football to keep you guys working, to help keep you working and get those great stories from you. So Olivia, again, thank you for joining me. This has been awesome. This is fun being able to talk to you guys who are out there on the field and you're seeing everything. So it's just a completely different perspective, from seeing the game, especially with everything that's going on right now. So again, I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Okay. So before we dive off here, everybody, make sure you get involved with our jersey giveaway going on right now. You have your choice between a Chris Godwin or a Kenny Galladay signed jersey. To enter that, you must sign up for one of the tiers on our Patreon. Get involved with the exclusive forum that we have there, because not only will you have exclusive access to our Sleeper Wire team, but there will be others involved that you can talk anything fantasy football on there about. So if you want to jump onto that, go visit our Patreon at patreon.com/sleeperwire, or you can go to sleeperwire.com/donate and you'll see the Patreon icon there. Until the next time you guys hear my voice, stay safe, have fun, look out for football.